This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two starts now. Let's get you all involved in what you're always trying to get involved in, and that's winning some tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. As we have been doing pretty much since the get-go, maybe after the first couple days, is making sure everybody's got a fair crack at it. Therefore, instead of just for listeners, we're going to do it for listeners on the app and the stream, as well as over the air, terrestrially, as you guys like to say.
Terrestrial.
So we're going to do it sometime during this hour. So I ask you, Mr. Laminack, to pick that time that we tell all listeners, start dialing at this time, and that time would be?
225.
Caller number?
21.
Cool.
Caller number 21 at 225. You win two tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. It's year two of the extravaganza. We had such a blast last year. We're doing it again this year. It's all about the broadcast teams, the editorial and management staff. Everybody's going to be there. You should be there, too. It's an invitation-only event, so you have to either listen and win or bribe Barry to get in.
No, that's because Troy just texted and said, "Hey Barry, how do I buy my tickets from you?" And I mentioned this last week or earlier this week or whatever, but I'm not selling them anymore. I've given them, and it's gone. All 10 of mine are gone. But I tried to disperse my tickets equally among people that have been supportive of me and radio and comedy and all the other stuff that I do. So. And I didn't get to everybody, obviously, because there's more than 10 people that have helped. And some people got plus one. So I don't have any, and I didn't sell any, if that's what
you're asking. And I think we kid about the selling part of it.
Maybe hit up Joel, and he'll sell you his.
I'm with you in the same way. No, I'm not trying to – excuse me. Got all emotional about all the support we've gotten from the suspects.
It's okay,
I was never intending on selling mine either. I'm kind of along the same lines as you. Those have been the most loyal to me, to us, to doing what we do. Are the people that I have in the crosshairs, and I continue to put my list together that way.
Hence, listener appreciation.
Absolutely.
So
we're going to, again, 225, yep. Caller 21, you win two tickets. But
why didn't you do caller 25 at 225?
Because I got to pick the caller number, you picked the time. So okay. Let the hell out.
Are you saying I should have went with 221?
Possible. See, I could have done it your way, but I just figure you're your own person. First. You make your own decisions. I'm not going to try and butt in ski on it.
Don't fight me.
Food's going to be brought to you by Big City Wings that night. We're all hoping for a little bit of the new menu items.
Yes.
Was it the sour cream and onion?
Yeah, that's my joint right there, man. Love those things.
Drinks provided by Coors Light. Who doesn't want one of those? So it's going to be a fun time. We had a great time last year. We're going to do it again this year. So there you go, 225. Good luck as you try and win those tickets to get into the big extravaganza. News out of the NBA real quick, because there's not a whole lot going on in basketball. CJ McCollum of the Blazers has agreed to a 3-year, $100 million extension with Portland. That means that McCollum and Lillard are locked in as that backcourt for the Blazers.
One of the best backcourts in the game. So
no question.
That's a lot of money.
It is, and again, the only thing that I would say is, because to Nick's point, and he's obviously spot on, when you talk about the best backcourts, now you put Houston in there, taking Chris Paul out, Westbrook in, but it's you start and end with Thompson and Curry, and then you put Lillard and McCollum, Harden and whoever he's playing next to, for the most part, because of the way the Rockets have been lately. But few and far between, before the injuries, you maybe could have said John Wall and Bradley Beal. But that's derailed all that talk. But, you know, if you got a good backcourt when they're playing small ball across the league, you got, you know, at least the makings of a team to build around. And that's what Portland's got.
Yep. You're the one that kind of pointed it out originally, but it's a thing now. I mean, you've got duos, right? There for a while, it was the big three, yeah. And now many teams are getting their big two, and that solidifies that for Portland in a way.
Yeah, you know, when you look at it, and the only thing I would say is, are they the same player? Because in a lot of ways, you look at Chris Paul was more the floor general with Harden. Even with Westbrook. Westbrook was more the point guard, the attack guy. Harden's more of the offensive scoring guy. McCollum and Lillard seem to be the same player to me, and I think it's going to be an interesting year for the Blazers. If it works, And like we said, when you get Nurkic back and add some of the pieces that they've added, they have a pretty good nucleus. But if it doesn't work and they have issues, I think you got to start with, can we move one of these guys to get in maybe a wing or a forward that can do things a little differently so that we don't have two of the exact same player in the backcourt?
Well, could you – I mean, you could make the case that the Rockets are in the same boat.
True.
But they still did it.
Like I said, we're still TBD on how this is going to work out with the Rockets. On paper and from a media marketing perspective, huge move for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Makes them sexy again. But does it lead to the ultimate goal of winning again and fighting for a championship? I don't know.
You know, it's funny because you have to you feel like if you're the Blazers, and I realize that it's about the supporting cast as well, and they do have a good supporting cast out there in Portland, but you have to look at big twos and say, is McCollum and Lillard big enough of a big two to compete with the likes of LeBron and AD and Russ and Harden and, you know, next year Durant and Irving and Kawhi and Paul George? Is McCollum and Lillard in that same class, or are they the next tier down? If that's the case, then you kind of, I don't know, you're taking a risk that you're not going to be as competitive as these other teams and investing a lot of money to do so.
That's the, you and I were talking about it before the show. The money is so crazy in the NBA right now, where less than average players, just look at the Knicks roster and who they've signed this offseason, are getting 10 mil plus as starting points for below average to average players. So when you put the money like you just did in McCollum's pocket with the Blazers after you've already locked up Lillard for almost $200 million, these decisions become so much more important, because if you mess up, like you're saying, you may be good enough to make the playoffs every year, but that's as far as you go.
Yeah.
And you're locked in unless you can find a way to move one of those guys and try and bring someone else in. And I think along those same lines, which a lot of people aren't looking at in the same way, even with the Clippers, you've got two guys that are essentially the same player, an off-the-ball scorer defender, playing essentially the same. Mm-hmm. Now you're asking them to play together at the same time. Going to be interesting to see how they work all of that out. But that's what the league's become in terms of, instead of one super team and everybody else chasing them, now you're throwing around big money to make big deals to get two guys, but you better get the right mix in those two guys.
It's an interesting thought when you consider it that way, that if Portland has their big two that are essentially the same, and the Clippers have their big two that are essentially the same, and the Rockets have their big two that are essentially the same, does that give the Nets and the Lakers an advantage because their big two have two different roles? Their big twos are both ball dominant, but in a different role. So you'd wonder, and is that going to give them a big advantage?
Well, here's something I want to run by you too. One of the savvy little moves the Blazers made was they signed Pau Gasol to a 1-year contract after some of the other moves they made. So it wasn't as big a splash as like the Rockets with Westbrook. So they had a conference call as opposed to a press conference.
Like a teleconference call.
A teleconference. Yeah. The media all dials in. They can fire off questions. Pau Gasol, Terry Stotts, they're all on the line, right? Actually, my buddy is the PR director for the Blazers, Jim Taylor. He's on this call. It got a little weird, and I knew you were the guy to break it down for me after you hear what it sounded like.
Okay.
On the call today, of course, we have our newest trailblazer, Pau Gasol. Obviously, at this point in my career, have a lot of experience, and I can help the younger guys understand what it takes, my skill set on offense, and my basketball IQ on both ends of the floor. Trying to make plays. At the end of the day, it's just trying to make winning plays for your team. You got to get everyone on the same page and everybody doing their job and doing their part in order for the team to succeed.
If I can interrupt for just a quick second, please, just a reminder to mute your line. We're getting a lot of breathing. And, he just
that's my buddy Jim Taylor.
Play. And what he can give, not only basketball-wise, but just what it takes to be a Hall of Fame type of player to Hassan and Zach in particular at that position, that's a bonus for us.
Can we give the reminder again, please, gentlemen?
The media's getting ticked off. You
heavy
fat sons of bitches, mute your phones.
Here's the reminder again. If we can please silence your phone. I don't know who's got the heavy breathing, but it's rather distracting. So please make note that you're breathing heavily into the phone. All right.
Go ahead with the question.
And Jimmy's laughing, but you know, it's like, hey, you know, there's a lot of foreign media that thought Pau Gasol was pretty handsome back in the day.
Man, that there was nothing that would piss me off more in a conference call back in when I was in the business world than somebody doing that heavy breathing. Because IT guys are fat, just like media guys. And then you get these dudes and they got the earpiece and they've got either they're holding the phone to their nose or they've got one of those like a telemarketer will have the little
the Time Life microphone.
Yeah, the microphone that comes down like an air traffic controller or a pilot or something, right? And then so that kind of gets between your nose and your mouth and now all your breathing is hitting the mic. And it's like, how hard is it to just move that thing down some?
See, if that was a football conference call here in Texas, that would be McClain.
That's what I was going to say.
If it was a Rockets one, it would be Berman, for sure.
I don't know.
Is
Fagan?
He a heavy breather?
Fagan.
Yeah.
Jonathan
because he would Fagan. Just be like on his iPhone waiting for it to tweet out a quote, but he'd be breathing directly into that ear, you know, that earpiece, that iPhone earpiece that he carries around.
That's probably true.
I'll tell you.
Oh, that would piss me off so bad, though. I'd be like, guys, hey, Darth Vader. Cut it. What are you doing?
Well, that brings up the other one. We used to do in the NBA once a month the broadcast director's conference call. Mm-hmm. And so obviously, especially if it's a game day for certain teams, you're dialing in from your car, wherever you may be. And we used to have the same thing where people wouldn't mute it. And you'd hear like in New York, New Jersey, some guy at the toll booth, hey, you know, I need your 25 cents short, whatever like that. And all of a sudden one day, some guy got cut off. And just MF'd right in front of the conference call. We're like, all right, that's it. From now on, if you don't mute it and you're not trying to ask a question, we're just going to have to end the call.
But that's the thing. You don't know who's doing what. They have, we used to use a conference bridge where you could mute everybody. And then you had to request to come off mute. How are teams not doing this?
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's so funny that you're trying. It's weird that they let Gilbert call
and the inhale
and
was,
fall asleep.
The inhale's so dramatic. It's one thing to hear the, but then,
yeah, you know they were fat.
Right after that breath, the second warning came out and was like, bro, reminder. He didn't know he was breathing that hard. That's why.
Obviously, that's true. You don't know
people who are hard.
Probably don't know.
And I love my boy Jim saying it's a bit distracting.
You think?
That's fantastic.
That's pretty funny.
All right, so there's a little basketball for you, but we still got plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, please do 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, which means it has to be ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, Tuesday in the big city. Hopefully you're having a great day, business, pleasure, and otherwise, as we hopefully entertain you up until 4. Blitz takes you till 7. It's Fred. I got a curveball yesterday when Aaron was out. Tyler was in with Jerome Solomon. Today, is it the Hall of Fame?
It is. Booker T and Brad Gilmore will be filling in with Fred.
There you have it.
For AJ. Filling in for AJ with Fred.
Two people texted the same thing about that call with the breathing.
Yeah.
They both said the same thing about the person that put you on hold. You know, you'll be on a conference call, mm-hmm. and on a lot of these phone systems, when you put someone on hold, it plays hold music. So you'll be on a conference call, somebody puts it on hold, and now there's music playing while everybody's trying to talk. And then the point that they make, which is pretty funny because it's so true in the business world, people be like, whoever has the phone on hold, can you take us off of hold? Dumbass, you're on hold. They can't hear you. That's the whole point of putting you on hold, but they'll talk to them like they can hear them. That's pretty funny. That actually two different people texted that with the same point. And somebody said, can you broadcast the date and time of the listener appreciation party? I want to make sure I can attend before I win. First of all, that's pretty cocky.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's the 15th, right?
Yep, 15th, starting at about 6:30 in the p.m.
Okay, I knew that.
Going to about 10:30.
Is it really that long?
Yeah, you're going to stay, brother.
No, bitch. I stayed last
Whoa,
time.
Bitch.
I was the last one
take
here.
Take this bitch outside.
Y'all can all kiss it. I was the last one here. I'm going to be the first one to leave this time.
Is that your talent for this year's show?
What?
The listener appreciation. You're going to be in the corner saying y'all can suck it?
Yeah. I was the last on-air person here. I think you stayed. No, did you leave?
No, I stayed quite a bit, too. I don't remember when I
was literally because Michelle thanked me. She goes, thank you for staying for the whole thing. You're the only on-air talent
that stayed.
You
sold my ass out.
I did. I sold everybody out. I was snitched.
And I stayed a long, long time. I finally skipped out.
You left because you were proud of your little Charles Barkley-like exit without telling anybody.
Because I said I was going to the bathroom and I kept going.
What is that? What do they call that? An Irish exit or something like that?
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Yeah, you stayed a good time,
Joel. I did.
But it was just like an hour and a half into it, maybe.
No. I left like at 9-something.
Ah, that late.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Irish exit. Irish exit refers to the departure from any event without telling any friends, associates, or acquaintances that one is leaving. You just leave. They're like,
man, you
the
don't
hell?
Sit there and hand, you know, give a handshake and a fist bump to every single person. You just want to leave. You want to bounce.
Yeah. So it starts at 6:30. I'll be texting y'all from the house at 7:15.
That's nice. Way to give the loyalty to the listeners. All right.
Like you did last year?
Dude, I was there till like 9:30, 9:45.
I like how he'll
only say
you
bitch
when
you're calling
once
him a bitch.
You triggered me, yes.
Once I do it, then he's like, oh.
I copy everything you do like
Typical.
A bitch, but I'm coming at you if you drop a bitch. I love it when you drop bitch on the listeners. I love that. And the Twitter
Stop
followers.
I'm stealing my shine.
What you shine on your own time is your business.
Hey, Barry, I think it's sad that they hate Lawn Talk so much that they even cut off Bob Vila in the commercial break. Did they?
I do not know that, but I know that some of Bob's
reads
are a
little bit
awkward.
That might have been on the app. I don't know.
He's a little awkward on some of his reads. With the way he over-enunciates some of the terminology, too. I'm just like...
Is that a national ad or is that a...
I think that's a local ad.
Is it? Okay. Is it from Ace or is it like...
Don't know. No. I just, you know, I'm pro Vila because he's a part of the team. And
yeah, I didn't know if it was national or local.
Couldn't
but,
tell you.
I like him. Of course I like him. It's Joel that hates him.
Yeah, he hates Bob Vila for sure.
Yeah. And where are you in all this?
Yeah,
you don't like Lawn Talk.
Love Lawn Talk.
You can kiss my ass.
No, I hate Lawn Talk.
See?
But I like Bob Vila.
Can't have it both ways.
Dang it.
Got to pick one.
Talk to Bob.
Right now.
Talk to Bob. Maybe you can.
Put that microphone back on,
All
you
I'm
sissy.
Saying is we should leave it to Vila. That's what
no.
I'm saying. That's
no.
what I'm saying.
What's it going
to
be? Do
leave
you like Lawn
Vila.
Talk?
Yeah.
Nope. Not- do you like Lawn Talk or do you like Bob Vila?
I like when Vila does his business, not you.
Nope. That's not the thing here. Do you like Bob Vila?
I do.
Or do you hate Bob Vila?
I like Bob Vila.
So he has Lawn Talk. So that ergo, you like Lawn Talk.
No. Nope.
Don't let him talk you into this.
He's I disagree. Trying to, it doesn't work. I'm not going to fall for this.
He's playing mental hopscotch with you. He's trying to get you to dial in to do something you don't want to do.
So how's your lawn doing, Nick?
Doing pretty bad.
Oh, I bet.
I replaced that shrub, though, so I'm good.
Did you?
Yeah.
I bet your lawn looks awful.
It looks pretty bad. But yeah.
You've been known to replace a shrub or two.
It's within the rules, and that's all that matters.
Speaking of that, I'm kind of mad.
Why? You're not keeping your bush trim?
No.
Your shrubs have been a
problem? I don't even know if I can talk about this on air, really.
Then why'd you bring it up?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I can't really say
it. What are you doing?
Well, so I can't talk about it. Damn it. I wanted to talk about it, but there's something in me that right at the last second said, no, don't. You know, usually I'm pretty open.
Yeah.
It may or may not be something illegal.
Well, then bring it out. For the people.
No.
Because you know there won't be anybody that's going to pass judgment or have any kind of opinion on it.
What, you smoked some weed yesterday? What happened?
No, I'm not. Huh? or maybe I was going to and the cartridge doesn't work.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
So I'm out $65.
Oh, did it leak? Did it clog up?
Hypothetically.
Of course.
I'm so pissed. I would be pissed if that was real. I'd be so mad.
Happens.
Does it? Yeah, I wouldn't know because I don't do that. But
I try not to mess with those bad carts. So
How do you know the difference? Yeah. Did you just delete all the stuff that was in the inbox, Joel?
I'm in the deleted items, right?
Bro,
now.
I'm gonna need you to stay out of the inbox, boy, both of y'all.
You better not. I swear I'm not in. I swear I'm not in the inbox.
I swear to God, you guys, I'm gonna change the password and not give it to none of y'all. You better stop.
I love how he is like the official station gatekeeper.
I am. Who do you think cleaned out the 19,000 messages that were in there one time? I spent 14 hours.
Fred?
No, that was not Fred.
Oh my God,
it was me. They were like, "We're out of space."
By the way, I know exactly what time it is.
Yeah, I know, because the phone line
I just
lit up.
Looked over your shoulder and saw the entire phone board just go crazy.
Yeah.
Lenny says he's in, by the way. Thank God, so he can stop begging me.
Oh, boy.
That's the one thing I won't miss.
What?
Everyone DMing me going, hey, if you got an extra one of those, or you got my invite yet? Nope.
Just tell them to send nudes. That'll help.
No, like from Clarence?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Well, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Dude, he's got some pretty big breasts.
Wow.
No?
Wow, wow, wow. And now
he's going to call.
I threw up in the back of my mouth a little bit, just like I did this weekend when you went over the top with your birthday wishes for Courtney. I was like, oh, God, here they go again.
My birthday, because I tweeted to her?
Yeah, one of the hardest work, blah, 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 blah. She loves you, and so you just, smart move on your part.
I love her, too.
Way.
She's great. Why wouldn't I? She's making shirts happen for us.
Have they happened yet?
She's been the driving force.
Have you seen the latest proof?
No one else has worked
harder. No, me and Nick
harder.
Haven't either.
No one else has worked harder on that besides me.
Brandon?
I gave you my input. That counts for 30% of the effort.
Y'all are really pushing it now. Really.
I stood for the camera.
Huh? Yeah.
I took a picture.
Never mind.
Now you've done it. Now he's genuinely upset.
No. I was about to start firing shots. I don't want to be mean. We're having a good time. I don't want to mess it up.
All right.
What? Who's getting these cartridges for $30? Did I overpay?
I mean, it depends on the quality. Some of them go for $30. Some of them go for a lot more, bro.
This was the medicinal stuff. Out of Oklahoma?
Oh, the medicinal stuff out of Oklahoma. Okay.
Hypothetically.
There's a bunch of brands now, bro. You just got to be more wary of it. Yeah.
Last time I had cartridges, they were for video games.
An Atari?
Yeah.
Used to blow on them?
I was good at them.
I bet you were.
No question. All right. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show coming up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special message.
Well, what's up?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force water.
I'll drink to that.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the Gal Media
Studio. So Barry's looking
studio.
For a new plug in town.
No. I only do it where it's legal. So like, you know.
Because the text line blew up.
Denver. Stuff like that.
Of course.
I don't.
I'm with you on that.
I don't do that.
That's why when I go to Vegas, I have fun.
See?
But if you need a plug, there's somebody on the text line that might have something.
Fred just got plugs, didn't he? Or is that different?
That's not the same plugs,
oh, okay.
Joel.
Just trying to play
not
along.
Not the same plugs.
AJ Hinch was just on MLB Network. His quote on Kyle Tucker. Kyle hasn't got a clear path right now, but that doesn't make him less valuable, and it doesn't mean we should just trade him for the sake of trading him. I mean, depending on the return, right?
Yeah, it's not exactly a ringing endorsement, but I think it's to kind of quell some of the conversation.
I've told you guys before, I hear all the stories about how great he is at AAA, but I see what he's done every time he's been called up.
Well, he's only been up once, right?
And twice. I think at least twice.
Was it?
Yeah. And it just, to me, look, it just hasn't been impressive. It worries me to some degree. And again, it gets back to the conversation of, do you go for the sure thing? A proven major league veteran that can do it on the big league level? Or a guy that has all the potential in the world that's ripping the cover off in AAA that hasn't shown to be what he's been in AAA at the major league level yet? I mean, let's also be clear. There's a big difference between starting off slow and starting off like Yordan Alvarez, because most prospects are not going to start off like Yordan Alvarez.
Bregman started off slow.
Right. I was just going to say, Breggs is the easy guy to say, look, when he was like one for his first 25 or whatever it was, everybody was ready to pull the plug and say, you know, maybe the kid's not ready. Okay, fine. But again, this team is in win now mode, and you know that you're facing a decision that Garrett Cole's going to have at the end of the year, along with Wade Miley. But yet your core is going to be together for the next couple years before you might have to consider one or more of those guys going elsewhere. So if you're in win-now mode, by the time Tucker is ready, and you have a spot for him, and like A.J. Hinch is saying, look, with the guys we have at all the positions that we have right now, there's no clear-cut path for him to just step right up and fill a role like Alvarez did with the DH.
Yeah. That's part of it. But I think, too, you don't want to make a mistake, and I think that's where some of these teams get nervous, is you don't want to end up on the wrong side of a Jeff Bagwell trade. Right. You don't want to be the team that goes and gets Larry Anderson and gives up Jeff Bagwell. And that's something that has to be considered when you're making these trades, is, you know, what do we think the value of this kid is long term? Are we about to get rid of Jeff Bagwell? And the names that are being thrown about aren't necessarily Larry Anderson. And Larry Anderson was really good at the time.
In the role he played, sure.
In the role he played. But this is almost like you don't want to be the Dodgers to go and get Josh Fields and give up Yordan Alvarez.
Sure.
So you've got to be careful.
Barry, here's the thing. You look at the Randy Johnson trade. They didn't really get stung by that. There was no. There were a couple guys that were good.
Who was it? It was John Halama and
Freddie, the pitcher.
Freddie Garcia.
Freddie Garcia.
Yeah, Garcia went on to have a pretty good
career.
He did.
He had a long career.
Halama, not as much.
Right.
But Freddie Garcia was
the one that's going to bite him in the ass that no one would have ever thought of when we start talking about prospects that end up being something and don't, and it's a 50-50 shot. Who'd have thought that the Carlos Gomez trade would be the one where they gave up? Yeah, haters won. And now if you look at Teoscar Hernandez, who's ripping the cover off of it for Toronto, you're like, who'd have thought that that trade might have bit the Astros in the ass the most, because they got nothing out of Gomez.
Yeah.
And boy, these two guys they gave up look pretty good.
Well, it's you're always going to win some trades and lose some trades. Sure. You just try not to lose guys that are on a trajectory for a Hall of Fame career.
Right.
And
but
I think
it's so hard to predict that when you got they're just prospects, right?
I mean, that's what you rely on your scouting department. And if your scouting department has built this World Series team, that they're a World Series team, they've got World Series talent, and they're World Series contenders year after year over the last couple of years, you have to trust those scouts that got you to this point. So if the scouts are saying, do not trade Kyle Tucker, he has the skill set to be great. He has the skill set to be a potential Hall of Famer. If you start ignoring them now, you can't selectively be like, "Well, we don't trust you this time, but we'll trust you on all these other deals." You got to pay attention to that.
Sure, absolutely.
And I'm sure that's going.
But it also goes back to, like, involved. We were talking about in trade situations and scenarios. We don't know what they're talking about. We don't know what those scouts are telling them. Like, he's absolutely untouchable. Don't, as opposed to, he's good, but we still have some concerns about this or that of the five tools in a hitting perspective, or from a Forrest Whitley's perspective. Or, you know, you have to talk to your doctors just as much and say, hey, look, we know this kid's got a skill set that says he could be a big-time frontline major league starter, but look at that rotator cuff.
Yeah.
Look at that shoulder. Look at some things that aren't going to be flagged in a physical maybe this year, but he's had some issues in the past. So you're right in saying that they've got to be in tune and on the same page as their scouts. They also got to be talking to their medical people that they trust, and everybody's got to be giving them fair and honest opinions of, I really believe this guy is going to be special or a big league player for years, or this guy's got more question marks than he does guarantees.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. There's no easy way to do it, that is for sure. There's no, you know, concrete answers to any of this when you're talking about trades and potential and young guys. You just, again, you rely on the people that you've hired to help you make those decisions and give you the proper information. And if you think you could, I think some of it comes down to the decision you have to make. do you want to give up the potential of a guy long term who could be a Hall of Famer for a World Series?
That's exactly right.
Do you trade? That's a risk, right? Like if you could increase the percentage chances of winning a World Series by 10. So if the Astros are a 70% chance to win the World Series and you can make that 80 by going adding Madison Bumgarner, do you do it? I do it. And then you know what? If you don't make it, but you know what? This window of winning a World Series, unless you're the Yankees, no other team really goes through. No, it's very hard to get to the point that the Astros are at, and you have to take advantage of that in every opportunity that you get. And so you have to, you almost have to be like win now, go for it now mentality. And they were like that before, but the difference was that Drayton McClain would mortgage the future. He would get rid of, he just annihilated the farm system. Him and Tim Papura and all these guys just decimated the farm system, but they were close. They got to the World Series against the White Sox and
05, yeah.
those killer bees and all that, they were always in the playoffs and making runs. They were so close.
But Drayton had a bad knack of being really frugal for a long time, and then when he really wanted to go get someone, it was the wrong someone. It was overspending on Carlos Swindell. Leal. Or Swindell. And those type of guys. Yeah, Drayback was another big money.
Or get rid
of
Kenny Lofton. I mean, but these are all things that you look at and, yeah, they did the Jeff Bagwell deal and that's great. And, you know, but they moved Caminiti, Luis Gonzalez, Steve Finley. All those guys went on to have great careers. And so I don't know if they moved them. Some of them were left. But you see what I'm saying is it's a very delicate balance of win now. But damn, do you sacrifice a decade of being mediocre?
You talk about the two guys at the top of their list. By the time they're there every day for you, what kind of team are you going to have around them? Because that's the thing, too. Do you want to have longevity, too, with a couple of years to have a chance to compete for a World Series, as opposed to looking at it and going, yeah, we might have had a better chance to win it this year, but that would have meant mortgaging our future, and we just weren't willing to do that. What's your future going to be? You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know if these guys get hurt. You don't know if you're going to have the budget and the contracts are going to work out to where you're going to have a team around them when they become full-time major league players. So that's why so many people say for so long, when you're in the mix, when you have a chance to win it, you go for it.
Yeah.
Because there's so many hidden variables that you can't predict.
I'm with you. Somebody wants to know, they're going to loyal suspect Chad. Said he's going to Waukesha. From the 3rd to the 10th. Is there anything that I can get for you while I'm there?
No, I think I'm good. I mean, you'll have fun. The state fair is going to be real close to Waukesha in August. So you might line that up to where you can go to the Wisconsin State Fair. That's kind of cool. It's right by Miller Park. So you can probably catch a Brewer game.
See, they'll have like a lot of livestock there. Might even see some animals.
Okay.
That was outstanding.
You know that they're known for their cream puffs.
Waukesha is?
No, the State Fair of Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Everybody has to get a cream puff.
Is that what they call the women there? Or is that
both?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're funny.
Thanks. Justin wanted to know, Barry, I saw Patton Oswalt last week in Denver. Will big names work on material at their shows because some of his stuff did not hit? Yeah, absolutely. That's a kind of a gamble, but yes, everybody has to work on something somewhere at some point, and he's probably working on filming another special, so what they'll do is they'll give you material that does work, and they'll try stuff that they're working on or that's new, and sometimes it's just not going to work. It just happens. So, yeah, absolutely. Big names like Patton Oswalt at a big concert or a big event, he'll still do new stuff.
Cool. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We already had our winner for our listener appreciation party for the day. So
who was it, by the way? Did we get a name?
I don't think. Do we get a name yet?
I'll get it for you guys.
Cool.
So we'll get that for you as the list continues to grow, as people are getting excited about the August 15th date, that we're going to all be there till at least 9:30 or 10 o'clock, having a good time at the party.
Are we?
We'll see.
Are we?
It depends on who pisses you or me off first. Nick will just be fine. He's be kicking back in the corner.
Nick's a man of the people.
Yeah, drinking and talking. He'll be fine.
Everybody likes Nick. You and me, not so much.
Exactly right. And normally one who likes one doesn't like the other and vice versa.
That's true.
So there you have it. We'll just have all our people meet in the middle.
There you go.
Hey, the second hour continues as we continue to roll on. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be today in Houston. Barry, Nick, Joel in studio. Where are you guys on this LeBron deal where he's obviously a big fan and supporter of Bronny, his son's AAU teams? And all across social media, it started with he goes through the layup line with his son's team and he's in dunk contest with them. Then his son goes down the middle, and it looks like it was set up, but he goes in for an uncontested dunk, and LeBron starts to lose his mind. And then one of the guards on the team actually comes down on a fast break, gets up in the air, and puts the ball almost like a dunk between both of his legs, then throws an alley-oop, and the other kid comes from the baseline and hammers it. And LeBron gets so excited, he ends up on the floor, and his shoe comes off, and everybody's just a critic, like we know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just coming at him in every direction possible. Where are you at on it? Is it a bad thing?
I think it's good he's excited about his kid playing well, and he should be, but it was so over the top that it's like he knows that everyone's looking at him. And I get that he's excited, but and he is LeBron James, but he's on the baseline. He's walking on the court flexing because his son had that dunk and his son flexed and he flexed. Then he's kind of walking around the baseline while the action's going on at the other end of the court. No other parent would get away with that. And I don't think that he should be able to as well. If he wants to be demonstrative or whatever, that's one thing. I mean, celebrate your kid and his greatness or whatever. Be happy. That's fine. If there were other parents in the stands that were flexing when their son dunked, everyone would look at him like they were a weirdo. But I think everyone wants to give LeBron a pass. But there has to be kind of a line of decency where you don't walk around the court flexing.
I've been flexed on by a parent in a Little League game as a 13-year-old kid.
What? As a player?
Yeah, parents take this seriously, especially when they think their kid can be something. It doesn't necessarily have to be a LeBron.
But that's ridiculous, Nick. You're a player. And the parents coming at you?
The officials had to get involved. You see parents. How come we're seeing fights in Little League games?
Yeah.
Well, that's parents going over the top because with each other. But that's one thing. But going at a kid 13 years old?
Parents go over the top. One time I fouled someone and they're like, number five. And I was wearing number five. And he was looking at me like I was trying to hurt him. I just literally hit his elbow. Some parents go over the top. And I think because it's LeBron, he's obviously getting a lot more attention for it. So all the accusations I saw on Twitter was that he was, you know, being a social media attention whore and that he was taking the spotlight away. And
I tend to agree with that, though.
Here's the thing. The only guys that should be allowed on the floor are the players and the coaching staff.
Yep.
So it's one thing to say, look, LeBron's seat was on the baseline. If he got excited and his shoe fell off and it went on the court and that's why he went on the court to go get it, then that's cool. Just go get it and get off the court. But to your point, Barry, initially, which is spot on, which is you know you're being watched, and instead of trying to duck the coverage and the attention like you can't do when you're in the NBA during the season, you are soaking it up. Because in high school, there's no dunking in warmups, right? But only the players are allowed to go through the layup line. The fact that he's going through the layup line with his son's team, and his son is even giving him the side eye, like, seriously, bro? Yeah, slow down. The Lakers is when you're going to get all the attention in the national TV games. That's one thing. And then, like you said, for him to be on the court celebrating and flexing, that doesn't make it about Bronny and the fact that people are starting to pay attention that he could be a prospect. That makes it about, look at me, I'm at my kid's game showing out.
Well, and you know that people are looking at him because he's there, and I'm with you. No other parent could go through the layup drills. No other parent is going in the layup line. No other parent is LeBron James. But still, how many players do you see or ex-players do you see that just let their kids do their thing? And they may, like, you know, you may get a Shaq or a Gary Payton or somebody watching from the sidelines. They're not out there running drills. And I get that there is a certain part of it where LeBron's like, hey, man, for some of these kids, they're never going to play past high school. How cool is it that they get to do warm-up drills with LeBron James? Then do that at practice.
Practice, exactly right.
But this is a game situation, and you're basically just using your celebrity status to draw attention to yourself and your son. And
because it would be a weird question to ask, hey, LeBron, do you mind doing layup drills before the game? I would imagine it's the kids bringing up that question. I would hope it's not the coach saying, hey, you know, you're LeBron.
First of all,
let's show the other little kid team that we've got LeBron doing layup. Like,
that's
I don't understand.
Like,
how is that
team,
conversation going down?
If you're right. The other team, you're already thinking about, I'm playing LeBron's kid today. But now when I look at the other side of the court, LeBron James is going through layup lines. That's intimidating as hell.
Yeah.
For any kid, I don't care how old you are. And that should be factored in. And the other thing is, let's just take for a perfect example. To your point, Patrick Creighton goes out there with his kids. And all of a sudden, Patrick Creighton's in the middle of the layup line on the other end of the court. Referees are going to be stopping it, going, who are you? Why are you on the floor? Get out of here. You have no place on the floor. But LeBron James is throwing dunks off the backboard. Now, I sound like get off my lawn guy. But when you look at it, that's the kind of thing where there shouldn't be special privileges. And if you're going to have these rules in place for a reason, because again, AAU, as I've told you guys over and over again, was the most corrupt business out there, ruining athletics more than promoting it in a lot of ways. They started to crack down on a lot of things. I love the fact that NBA players are putting their money and their knowledge and their coaching behind a lot of these teams, like Mario Elie does. Mario Elie's not going through layup lines. Mario Elie's not flexing in the middle of the court when one of his sons does something well, but he's putting finances behind it, uniforms behind it, managing things so that the kids have more opportunities. Great. That's the way it should be done. But I think LeBron's getting a little bit too much in terms of the dramatic attention, look at me stuff.
That
spotlight
seems
stuff
to be the consensus because everybody out there is accusing him of it. So,
and by the way, Brady, did you notice he's wearing the bright neon purple shoes?
Yeah, for the Lakers.
Yeah, and also to get a little bit more love and attention for the brand. He wasn't exactly wearing like the low key black and white,
of course,
casual kicks.
Of course, he knows what he's doing.
And that's why he wanted to get seen.
Could be part of it.
Well,
for
part
sure
of it, yeah. So, all right. Well, that's going to be about hour number two of the show. Obviously, we still are watching the clock, watching social media and the internet to see if anything's going to happen move wise as we're now less than 24 hours away from the deadline for the Major League Baseball trades to happen. So we're watching that. Astros, by the way, tonight open up a pretty good series against a Cleveland Indians team that's now right in the middle of things, looking at a chance at the Central Division, along with the Twins. They're only, I think, two games out. So Verlander on the hill for the Astros tonight as they're going to try and stay hot against a team that's been playing pretty well in Cleveland.
Yeah, not going to be an easy series. Of course, we thought about that going into the Cardinals series. Sorry, Josh Rapp.
And he went, didn't he? I saw one tweet where he was there.
It did look like he went there.
He was a little annoyed that there were a lot of Astros fans in St. Louis. Well, get used to it.
Sorry we travel well,
yeah,
bro.
Take that. And take that loss in the series.
I don't travel with them.
Attaboy. I thought you were talking about the Braves and the Falcons the Hawks.
That's right.
Oh, that's... All right, so 2 hours in the books, hour to go in the show. 60 minutes on the clock when we return, and we are here for
Turn
you.
Up.
If you're a suspect and you want to talk about anything sports or otherwise, we're here for you. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.